Welcome back, my friend. Chef and a Fat Man live from Le Cordon Green with our very special guest. He is, of course, the renowned Stephen Reichlin. And before we get started, I just want to make a little attaboy to the amazing volunteers that work here at Le Cordon Green. Every time they do classes, and they do classes all the time, from the manager, Amanda, all the way down, these are the most, and all this work, they had 7 volunteers that came in today to help make sure that Stephen had everything he needed, and all he does is turn around and so politely suggest, and with his magic wand, it appears, and so the Big Green Egg decided, instead of charging people to come in here because they would have sold a lot of tickets, they decided to give it a day for their volunteers. So I think you guys ought to give yourselves a great big hand. You guys are awesome. You remember, Chef Eric, the very first class they had here was you and I.
Yep.
And we were working with the volunteers. They did That's correct. They didn't know us from Adam, but they
were amazing.
It out. Amazing and they're volunteers. Here each and every week giving up their free time. And, of course, it wasn't hard to get volunteers for Stephen Reichlin. It was a little harder for us. You know, I mean,
well, no, we still had a good group of volunteers that came, and we had a lot of. We were doing 4 briskets, doing corned beef, which on the egg, which was a lot of work. So,
and 4 is a magic number because we promised Stephen would tell us his 5 tips. So let's see, if you take 1 tip that he already did away from 5, that leaves
4.
Very good, I'll tell you. You Argentinians are sharp.
But let's hear about how we finished up that pork first.
Once again, just a quickie.
Sure. Okay, so on the pork, what I did, I brought the marinade to a boil to make it food safe. I spooned it over the smoked pork tenderloin, sprinkled the pork with finely chopped scallion and sesame seeds, and if you like, serve it with Chinese mustard.
Excellent.
Super simple, but it's a Project Smoke twist on traditional Chinatown favorite.
No wonder you and Chef Eric get along so well, because he twists everything. Some people call it warp, some people call it twist.
Thanks.
But anyway, what is the weirdest? This plays into the Chinese theme. You notice how I try to follow along. What is the strangest thing you ever ate?
Where do I begin?
That many.
A Betamax they serve in the Philippines, and it's a little rectangle of grilled coagulated chicken blood. In Mexico or Thailand, any number of deep fried insects, crickets, termite eggs, ants.
What's your favorite protein? Ants or
Argentina in Uruguay. There would be what they call chinchulines, grilled chitlins, or choto, which is a small intestine of a sheep tied into sort of a little sausage and grilled. That's actually pretty tasty.
But chinchulines are excellent, yeah.
But, that was when I was younger. I kind of had to prove to myself I needed to eat weird foods. I don't need to do that anymore.
Now, Chef Eric, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? I know you've mentioned it before, but it bears mentioning.
Braised pigeon heads in Shanghai. Which were fantastic. They were one of the most savory things I've ever had in my life. So,
braised pigeon heads. So next time you're in the park, looking at all those delicacies flying around, realize that Chef Eric, you wonder why there's a pigeon population. Well, I thought it was the Asian buffet for the chicken wings. It's not.
Let's call it braised squab heads. I mean, it's pigeons like squab.
And how do you hold it when you eat something like that? How do you hold it?
You grab it by the beak.
Naturally.
And you take the rest of the head off, just like
this
that.
This poor lady's dying back here. She's like,
I've got pictures of it. It's fantastic.
Chef Eric's chunky little hand picking up that little beak and chawing on that head. Anyway, Stephen Reichlin, did you ever try the braised pigeon heads while you were there?
I have not had braised pigeon head, but, I would gravitate more to grilled rather than braised anyway.
See? And why not? Now, speaking of grill, let's get back to the 4 tips that you had not touched on. Of course, number 2 is?
So number 2 is understand the difference between smoking, barbecuing, and grilling, okay? Grilling, direct high heat method you use for steaks, chops, other tender foods. Indirect grilling, You cook next to, not directly over the coals, lower temperature, bigger, fattier pieces of food, your whole chickens, whole turkeys, pork shoulders. Bump the heat down, take the heat down, add wood smoke, and you get into true barbecue done around 250 degrees. That would be for your briskets, your spare ribs, your pork shoulders. And finally, smoking, as we have seen earlier, can either be hot smoked, cold smoked. All barbecue is smoked, but not all smoked foods are barbecued. Okay, that might be on the final exam. That's an important lesson. So in the meanwhile, I'm getting ready here to prepare a little sauce to go on our smoked ice cream. And this is not in the book, actually. So this is my way of showing my great affection for you all. I have browned some butter to it. I will add some almonds or pecans. And this is granulated brown sugar. It's called sugar in the rough. And we'll just cook that until the sugar sort of starts to melt down. And you notice I looked overhead to make sure there was nothing that could immediately catch fire. And last of all, as we bring this to a boil, I will add some rum. And if some rum is good, maybe more rum is better.
You and Chef Eric, I'm telling you guys are right there with your generosity in the alcohol.
And if this were a gas burner, it would catch fire. I just want to boil this mixture now until it becomes thick and syrupy. And I think this will make a pretty spectacular topping to go over the smoked ice cream.
Now, here's a quiz for you. We haven't done the pickle quiz yet, but because that's not fair to you, because you're, live flame.
Yeah.
But what is the difference between pecans and pecans?
Probably if you come from Martha's Vineyard or if you come from Atlanta. I don't actually know.
No, here's the answer. $3 a pound.
Oh.
I'll take the pecans. Those are $6 a pound. How about some pecans for $3? Anyway, I just thought I'd share that knowledge with you because I know you're from the Northeast.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help a brother out.
Okay. Very good. So, so while this mixture simmers gently, you want to do the smoked ice cream now? You want
to
talk about more tips?
It's up to you. It's your show.
So that's tip number two. So tip number three, do not overcrowd your grill, right? Seen the guy, because it's always a guy. His grill is this big, and he covers every square inch with the chicken wings that he's about to smoke. Then when you get flames or flare-ups, although you don't get that so much with a big green egg.
Nice that you mentioned
what
that.
What happens, you have no room to maneuver. So I always recommend leaving a third of your grill food free so you have room to maneuver. All right, so that's tip number three. Tip number four, let's see. Tip number four would be...
Three was the... building the zone, the three fires.
Yeah, so let's say you're not working on an egg, but let's say you're working on a conventional kettle grill or charcoal grill.
So the first thing you do is dump that in the trash and go to your nearest
egg
retailer.
There's a world, I said ecumenical, there's a world for every grill and smoker under my tent, okay? My heart is open and my world, my tent is big. But the way you control the heat is you build a three-zone fire, right? Thick layer of coals on one side, thin layer of coals in the middle, and no coals on the other side, right? So you've got a searing zone, a cooking zone, and then a safety zone. Very important principle. Tip number five would be give it a rest, and that's whether you're smoking a brisket, whether you're grilling a steak. You never want to eat it hot off the grill or smoker. You always want to let it rest, a steak for a couple of minutes, a brisket for even a couple of hours in a cooler. So I think we've covered that. We have this extremely delectable sauce, and just to make sure... I'm going to just taste it.
You're too kind.
All right. And that is extremely delectable.
It looks delicious.
With those beautiful Georgia pecans. Pecans.
Yes.
We got you the $6 one, Steve, just to let you know.
Now, would you...
What's interesting? I've done this, obviously many, many times. Never done it with almonds before, and it's really great with almonds. So already I'm thinking almonds and maybe you add a little amaretto to it to reinforce the almond flavor. So, I don't want anybody to buy my books or watch my shows for one recipe. I want you to get the idea of the process.
And one of the great things about your books and this new one, tell us a little bit about how long it took put this together. What was the clear purpose of this book? It had a defined purpose.
Yes, so the purpose really was to, I touched on smoke in all of my other books, but I really wanted to focus on smoke precisely for that reason that there's a lot of great smoke food that isn't barbecue. So I'd never written about cold smoked salmon. I'd never written about smoked cheese. I'd never done jerky. I'd never made bacon in a previous book.
Whew.
And I wanted to cover those. Also, whenever I start to write a book, I always pack a suitcase. So this book, the research involved trips to Denmark. I went to Eiler Island in Scotland to learn how Scotch whiskey is made because that is a smoked whiskey. Mexico, we covered Italy for the smoked cheese. The world of smoke is big, and I wanted to visit every corner.
And he certainly did, and his book is available right here, anywhere fine books are sold. When we come back, he's going to take it to another edge. Stephen Reichlin's going to smoke ice cream. I don't know how he's going to keep the papers dry. We'll find out when we come back. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of the Big Peach in Atlanta, Georgia, at Le Cordon Green, baby.